Last week, I had the good fortune to be in Slovakia and the Czech Republic with our guest, Craig Button, our TSN resident scout and GM. And Craig joins us from Calgary, I believe. Craig, how are you?
I am from Calgary, Gord. I'm very good. And how are you doing? Have you been waking up early in the morning, or have you been getting your regular amount of sleep?
I'm okay. I'm actually, I slept on the flight all the way home, so I'm okay. I don't know, for some reason coming back from Europe, I'm fine.
Craig, he zipped through time zones in North America like they're nothing, so that couple extra hours coming back from Bratislava is no big deal for Gord.
So I want to talk about a couple things. Go ahead, Craig, yeah.
I'm just happy that I don't have to follow Bobby Orr on Overdrive.
Well,
you're opening up the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You're on the first shift.
You're the warm-up act. So yeah. We want to talk to you about a couple of things. We're going to get to the Hlinka-Gretzky Cup and the unbelievable Canadian draft class for the 2020 draft. But first of all, you did a thing on, I think it was mid-July, about sort of the priorities for the seven Canadian teams. Right. This is July 29th. So here's for the Leafs. Number one, Mitch Marner / cap space. Number two, top three right defenseman. Three, backup goalie. Four, fourth line center. And then five, forward depth. Now, I would say to you that three, four, and five have kind of been done, right? Backup goalie's done. Fourth line center's done. Forward depth is done. Is it not?
Yeah. I would, and you know, going to the center, and I said this, I think that, you know, having Jason Spezza, you know, a very different type of center. He can be an offensive specialist. You know, you and I have talked about Mike Babcock and, you know, why he likes Frédéric Gauthier. But it gives Mike a lot of flexibility in how he wants to round out his lineup on any given night, depending on the opponent. So I think that center ice position, the depth, I mean, they're counting on Korshtov, they're counting on Mikheyev to come in. You know, that'll be music to Mike's ears, too, because they're bigger players. And, you know, if Michael Neuvirth can find the form that allowed him to be a really solid backup goaltender, I think that the Toronto Maple Leafs are in great shape in those three areas.
Is it safe to say that it's really an incomplete summer, though, because without being able to get Marner signed, could they do exactly what they wanted to do? It's hard to say exactly what they would have wanted to do with the lineup, but like a lot of teams, they're hamstrung by the key guys not being signed, and so then they don't quite know what flexibility they might or might not have.
I think they do, Dave. I think that was why when we talked about priority number one being signed Mitch Marner / cap space, they go hand in hand. They needed to create cap space so that they didn't have terms dictated to them. Now, you know, you don't want to have to just go and trade players because you don't have the cap space. You know, by moving dollars out and, you know, making some decisions in that regard, I think that they've been able to have a greater grip on the steering wheel of the Mitch Marner contract. So I think that was essential for them to do. And I think that if you look at their lineup, I mean, they switched out Zaitsev for Cody Ceci. I think Gord, too, just quickly, but I think they got number two. They've never had a defenseman like Tyson Barrie on the right side in their lineup. And so I think they got number two solved as well. So when you start to look, you know, last year they bring Korshkos over, they sign Mikheyev, you know, they make a move to bring Kerfoot, they try to make their team look a little bit different with Spezza. But I think, Dave, that like now, And as we've seen right through the league with this class of restricted free agents coming out of their entry-level contracts, you know, nobody's signing. I mean, Matthews is signed, and we saw the Aho offer sheet and Timo Meier. But they're all sitting on the sidelines right now. And I think that every team is hopeful that they can get those players signed sooner rather than later. But, you know, this is one of the real significant challenges right now for NHL teams and the NHL, significant players coming out of entry-level contract that ostensibly have no leverage per the CBA, but have leverage because of how important they are to their team. So, I mean, that's something that they have to go forward with. But I think that the Toronto Maple Leafs group, the management group led by Cal Dubas, has done a really good job in terms of, you know, making adjustments and changes to their lineup, given that they had some cap complications.
Well, Craig, you know, the one thing is that you get the sense talking to agents, and there was a number of them overseas that we were with, they get the feeling everyone's waiting on Marner. Like Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary, you know, Lion A in Winnipeg, Kyle Connor in Winnipeg, Rantanen in Colorado, Point in Tampa. That all these guys are waiting to see what happens. Brock Besser in Vancouver, they're waiting to see what happens with Marner.
Well, and it's interesting to me, Gord, because I think we have yardsticks up. The Matthews 5-year deal, 11.6. The Timo Meier 4-year deal that he chose to sign with the big qualifying offer coming out of year 4. That Sebastian Aho 5-year deal offer sheet. So, what I would ask is, are the agents waiting on the on Marner, or is everybody waiting on the Toronto Maple Leafs? Because to me, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs that, you know, are moving along. And, you know, is Mitch Marner saying it's $11 million or nothing? Well, as Bob Goodnow has said often, when he was the head of the Players Association, a rising tide raises all boats.
Right.
And that may be the case as much as anything. So, you know, I think there's a lot of focus in on the Toronto Maple Leafs and Mitch Marner because they go hand in hand. But at the same time, you know, I think talking to people around the league, you know, they all know how important these players are to their teams. And here we sit on August 14th, and it'll be interesting, you know, what happens here in the next 3 weeks.
Craig, how would you break this logjam with a rule change? Would it be arbitration eligibility right out of your entry-level deal if you were, and would you want that as a player and or as management?
Here's what I would say, Dave. I think that that's where you'd have to explore, because what's happened is, you know, as the league has gotten younger and, you know, these players have not just come into the league and performed, they performed at the upper echelon of players in the league. So I think that this has been, you know, we see now in a CBA, you know, there becomes a situation where the CBA doesn't reflect the reality of the marketplace. And the reality of the marketplace is these young players are significant players to their teams. And that's why I say they have leverage, because with the parity in the league, you know, you go without your key players, that can impact you in terms of not only making the playoffs, but where you finish in the regular season in terms of seeding. So I think that's become significant. So, you know, if you look at an arbitration system, maybe it's not full arbitration. Maybe it's players that are in that 2-year window that have signed coming out of entry level, and you use a very specified group of players as comparables. Maybe you use it based on games played. But I think that would be the area that I would suggest and follow up your point that could break this logjam and reflect what's currently happening in the marketplace around the league.
So, Craig, let's switch gears a little bit. You and I were in the Czech Republic and Slovakia last week for the Ivan Hlinka Wayne Gretzky Cup, the under-18 summer tournament. You go to that every year, and it's my second. But I did the draft for over 24 years at TSN. The greatest draft, I think, in the modern era is the 03 draft. I mean that is, I don't know how you can possibly compare to, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, Eric Staal, Vanek, Suter, Phaneuf, Carter, Seabrook, Parisi, Getzlaff, Brent Burns, Ryan Kessler, Mike Richards. I mean, that first round, Corey Perry, just goes on and on. But last year was an American year for the draft. 7 of the top 15 players were American-born players. Conceivable, based on what we saw, that 7 of the top 10 in 2020 could be Canadians.
Yeah, I don't think it's just, I don't think it's not only conceivable, Gord. I think it's a real possibility. And, you know, you start to look at the top five. I mean, you look at Alexis Lafreniere, you look at Quentin Byfield, Cole Perfetti, Hendrix Lapierre, Justin Barron is in that group. I mean, it's an unbelievable group of young players from Canada in the draft. And much as we talked about last year, you know, the U.S., they had 7 of the top 15 picks. I mean, seven of the top 10 very well could come right from Canada, and not just the number of players, the quality of player is very, very, very high. So, you know, when you start to consider, you know, and we talk about these things being cyclical, people say, the Canadians, the draft is down. Well, yeah, last year, because it was a special group of U.S. players. Well, this year could be a special group of American players. Right. And I will just add one other thing, too, back to that 03 draft. Shea Weber, Patrice Bergeron, and Corey Crawford were second round
picks. It's incredible. And we talked about the fact that, you know, the lab experiment, the lockout in 04-05 forced those guys to stay in junior or play in the American League or stay in college, and it made such a difference. Yaroslav Askarov, the Russian goaltender.
Yeah, despite the great Canadian team over there, they didn't win because of
Askarov. Marc-Andre Fleury went first in 2003. The last goaltender to go first overall in the draft. Could Askarov go that high?
I think he has to be a consideration, you know, just because he's that good. And, you know, you think back to 2005 and when Carey Price went fifth overall. And, you know, and we've seen his career and how good it's been, how awesome it has been. And when we look back at that draft and you say, okay, Sidney Crosby went first overall. There's no quibbling about that. He's one of the best players that's ever played in the NHL. But Kopitar went 11th and Carey Price went 5th. And, you know, I mean, Kopitar has 2 Stanley Cups. He's been a top-end player. Carey Price has won an MVP. So if you look at Carey Price going 5, and even at that time, Gord, there was some, you know, consternation amongst fans of the Canadians about, you know, why are you drafting Carey Price? But when I watch Askarov play, he's the best goalie I've seen entering the draft since Carey Price. So if he's that good and he can have that impact on a team, and let's just say he can be at the same level or near a level of where Carey Price is at, well, we're talking about top 3 player from the 2005 draft. He has to be a consideration at the top end of the draft. Absolutely has to be. And, you know, everybody's different in terms of what their development path is and the timing of it. But watching Askarov, not only the skill and the technique, but I think he's closer to playing than not in the NHL. I don't think he's like Ilya Samsonov, who I think is a terrific goaltender. It'll be 5 years at the end of this season since he was drafted. I don't think Askarov is off the mark in terms of being close to playing the NHL. Maybe just like Andre Vasilevsky.
Wow. I'm so excited about watching these guys this year, and I think we'll see a number of the World Junior Tournament. It's going to be fabulous. Craig, it was great to be over there with you. It was fun to, you know, be your driver, and I look forward to doing it again.
You know what, Gord, it is. It was really enjoyable. I mean, the time we spent, the group, it was great with Kevin Pratt and obviously Paul Graham over there. And, you know, it was, you know, to watch these young players in that environment and then to track them, it is a lot of fun. And Gord, we are going to see a lot of these players at the World Junior Tournament, which just makes it even that much more exciting.
Awesome. Craig, thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, thanks.
That's Craig Button, our resident scout and general manager.
It was always my favorite part of the summer. I mean, I went 5 years in a row when I was in management. And